You are very welcome to Cawley's Call with me, Alan Cawley, powered by Benetti Menswear, a topical debate show covering all things Irish football, along with 1v1 interviews with top-class sports stars from a wide range of different sports.
It's me that's putting on the green jersey, me that's going to take flak from people to say, you're not even Irish. I was big enough to say, I'm going to take it.
There's many people I've spoke to, they always say, I used to put money on you scoring the first goal, but I've never seen any of that money, though.
And Andy, he says, I want the performances that I got from you in Scotland with you under 16s, not that rubbish that you gave me over in Ulster.
Yeah. Hi, everyone, and you're very welcome to Series 1, Episode 5 of Cawley's Call. We are here thanks to our brilliant sponsors, Benetti Menswear, and I'm joined, as usual, by Mr. Stewie Byrne. How are you, Stewie?
I'm good, Alan.
Good to see you. And Mr. John O'Sullivan. John, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, Alan.
So you have to explain what we've done with John.
Okay, tell us, Joey, what have we done with
John
this week?
We've had to send John down to the county of Kerry, okay, because we feel there's definitely a possibility that a new up-and-coming vibrant football club could surge into the League of Ireland.
And if there ever was a man to find a proper new football club in rural Kerry, it's John. So yeah, the right man for the job.
You're sick of Cork, John.
No, not yet. There's not much around me now that you could build a stadium out of, to be honest, at the moment. But look, we'll see how we get on.
We have to start somewhere, John. So,
that's no, it.
But you are on a little holiday, so we're only joking really about the club, aren't we?
Probably prospects in Kerry at some stage. You know, don't leave with me.
I think there is prospects in Kerry, to be honest with you. There's a big junior football scene in Kerry.
Trilly Dynamos are a big club down there. I remember obviously playing against them in schoolboy, a big setup, you know. So
there's a big soccer scene down there. It would be great, wouldn't it? Because I always feel, Stewie, that the more geographical spread that we can have in the league is obviously a good thing, because everybody is always saying about how it's kind of Dublin dominated and it can be over familiar with teams at times, which I agree with, and it can be hard for those clubs as well to kind of identify with getting a bigger fan base, because obviously it's a bit clustered. Possibly, would you like to see a Kerry team?
I would, yeah. I know for a fact Tralee Dynamos definitely did look at the option before. Maybe cost was a particular issue at the time, but you know, as we move forward towards a more national league, maybe even an All Ireland league, I think, you know, when you talk about bringing in the likes of government for grants for funding, it certainly helps the cause, doesn't it? When you have a larger spread around the country, and they'd be more than welcome, because I think the more clubs we have in both leagues, you know, the better and more competitive the leagues will be.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay, that's something we'll definitely come back to down the line. Who knows, John may come up with a club. But for now, we're going to obviously look back on what was a massive weekend, Stu. Absolutely massive. It almost seems we're 2 weeks into the season and it was pivotal already in the title race, which we're going to get to, with Shamrock Rovers coming up with another unbelievable win in Derry, one down for a long period of time. And eventually they came up with the winning goal. And it was really, to be fair, it's a massive result. We're going to get into that. We're also going to touch on the First Division games as well. A big weekend for those two. Cabinteely, the leaders, slipping up against Wexford, who were actually improving, to be fair to them this year. But first of all, it was a big day for the European teams. And you dedicated your column, Stu, on Friday to the European scene. And obviously it's upcoming now in the next 2 or 3 weeks. We're all looking forward to it. Before I ask you about maybe the draw and also your column, because you think it's a big opportunity for the teams this year, I'm just going to run through the draw at the moment. So for Dundalk in the Champions League, they've been drawn against Slovenian outfit NK Sielce, I think is how you pronounce it. But I'm sure over the next couple of weeks I'd be corrected on that, or somebody will tell me the exact pronunciation. But I think it's a good draw for them, Stu. Little bit unknown with the Slovenian team, obviously, but the game is going to be played in a neutral venue in Budapest, because obviously Slovenia is not on our green list. Funny enough, we're on their green list. So there's all these travel restrictions that we have to obviously deal with at the moment as well. They're ranked 10 places higher than us, actually. The Slovenian league is ranked 10 places higher than us, but I wouldn't read too much into that. They only won their first title this year. They're unseeded, obviously, and they're competing in the first time in Europe since 2016. So from a Dundalk perspective and from our league's perspective, do you think it's a good draw for them?
I do think it's a good draw for them, yeah. I mean, you know, you had the when you talk about the green listing of countries, I think there was two options for the Slovenian crowd to pick. It was Hungary or Greece. Mm. I think I'd rather play in Hungary, to be quite honest, just in terms of accessibility, and maybe, you know, the climate or the temperatures won't be as harsh, possibly. But, you know, regardless of who you're playing in Europe, you know, you're always, you know, you're always going to face into factors like the heat, humidity, things like that. So Dundalk, well used to all of this. The single-legged tie is huge. You know, it is simply huge because it just, it's a great opportunity, especially for our clubs. You know, I think maybe in the past, because some of our clubs haven't been experienced in playing in Europe, the two-legged affair may have worked out as being more difficult. But, you know, we're facing into it. It's a new era. It's a new year. It could be a once-off opportunity. And I'm sure Dundalk are looking at this now as being, look, this is our chance. Their league form obviously is not where it needs to be at the moment. I don't know why. Maybe their focus is on Europe. But I think they'll also look, Dundalk, at maybe, you know, the previous couple of years haven't really hit the heights that they would have expected to have hit, even under Stephen as well. And I think that maybe this is the year for them to put that right. And that was the basis of my column. I felt that, you know, as a player, you always need that sort of lead in time. European football was normally 4 or 5 week period leading into it. Psychologically, you got yourself coming around to dealing with the travel, dealing with, you know, different circumstances. A little bit different this time around again, because everything's going to be very much rushed. You know, if some of our clubs do get through, they're going to very quickly be playing the next week against a new opposition.
And they know that opposition as well, Stu. If they're to come through, it's Molde from Norway or KUPS from Finland. So again, I think that's not a bad draw if you're
And they've
gotten
the home draw as well. Yeah. And I think the option might be to play in the Aviva. The option is possibly there for them. They might want to play in Oriel, which is fine. If it, whatever gives them the advantage, they should certainly do. But, you know, focus, obviously the first game is the key one for them. But given their pedigree in Europe, I think they'll go into a confidence. I think they've signed the players they've signed this year for Europe.
Particularly that lad Kolovic, isn't it?
Particularly Kolovic, yeah, who actually is Slovenian, if I'm not mistaken. So look, that's what they have their eye on. So that's what their focus needs to be. So I think they've got a great opportunity.
Yeah, John, would you echo a lot of that? Vinnie Purr touched on in an interview last week that he felt since Vinnie became the manager, which obviously was only last year, but he was unlucky with the draws. They faced Riga and then obviously Slovan Bratislava that had a couple of stiff opposition last year in Europe. Do you think he'll be a lot happier with the draw this time around?
I think he will compared to last season, definitely. But I still think it's a tough enough tie. Celje, or however you pronounce it, they've only just finished up their league a couple of weeks ago. So after a break in March, so they're even though they haven't started the new season yet, they probably have been together as a group since early June. And it's the first title that they've won as a club. So I think they're probably, that might carry them through. It's a tough one. I think it's a tough game to go into. I think that the Slovenian league is actually quite highly ranked compared to us, and it's technically strong. And I know Dundalk have been posting up you know, bits and pieces about the club today. But look, it's a great opportunity to get a home tie against Molde or Cups for the next round. And I think, look, with the pedigree and with the experience they have in Europe, Dundalk shouldn't really fear anybody. And it might be the jump start, like Stewie was saying there, to restart their good form in the league, because it has taken a hit recently.
Looking at the draw, if they were to get through, Stu, and I don't want to be jumping the gun, but I always fancy our chances against the Scandinavian teams. But just what something John touched on there, that are we sometimes guilty of building our teams up too much going into Europe? Or are we right to put the expectation on them against the team from Slovenia?
Yeah, we're right. Yeah, you cannot go into games like this feeling like you're not equipped, or you're the underdog. I mean, you can use.
I don't mean it from that point of view. Like, that's how Dundalk will view it. I mean, from us looking in, the pundits or whatever you want to call us, looking in and the commentary around the game. Do you think sometimes, because you look at Dundalk, that Slovenian team, will they look at Dundalk today and think that's a great draw for us?
They probably will. Yeah, sure. Let them. Look. Really, realistically, you know, the Dundalk side will start preparing for this game now. I mean, I've no doubt that they'll be, you know, scurrying around trying to get DVDs, clips of this crowd, and they'll start doing their preparation now. Players may start having a look at the.
Because Vinny really is gung ho on making an impact in Europe as well, isn't he?
Well, he is. That's pretty much what that's his legacy. I think, to be quite honest, I think that's what even Stephen tried to do at Dundalk. You know, as soon as they'd won a couple of league titles, the focus kind of switched on trying to make that breakthrough in Europe. And it's important as well from the players' point of view that they hear this from the manager, like, you know. And I do know he wants to take it on to another level. They've probably come back a little bit from where they were, and that was under Stephen, you know. And that's okay, that's fine. But as long as you're able to regroup, get the players you need, because in Europe, that's, you know, from my experience, and I can only speak from my experience, the difference in making that breakthrough or not is definitely in the caliber and type of player that you bring in, because you just have to, you know, you have to bring in quality, and you have to bring players that know how to play at that higher level. We don't get exposure to regular high level football in this country, and it's when you go into games like this, and especially now that it's a one-off game, you know, you're not going to get that opportunity to kind of have a little look at what they're like in the first leg, and then maybe change your system, change your preparation for the second leg. That's all gone out the door now. You're facing into an almost sort of cup final scenario where you win, you reap the benefits, you lose, you're out, you're gone. And then, you know, in Dundalk's case, because of how they started the season, that's a little bit of additional pressure that they probably would not like to have. But you need pressure. You know, you need to go into these games with pressure. That's what makes you rise to the standard that they've rightly achieved over the previous years, you know.
The additional pressure there, John, that Stewie mentions, comes from the manager and the stuff on the pitch. How much additional pressure do you feel is there from Peak Six and the investors? Because let's be honest, this is why they've gotten involved. They looked at the European scene, obviously the money that can be earned, and the investment that's gone into Dundalk is so that they can make a big impact on that European scene and try and win a few quid, obviously. So how much do you think there's additional pressure from, say, upstairs, not just on the pitch in Dundalk?
I think there's probably pressure to a degree, but I mean, you touched on it there a little bit ago. Some of the players that they brought in have been specifically signed, you know, it seems like with Europe in mind. But look, every round you win through in Europe at this stage is like put away the money you get for participating and winning your domestic league from UEFA. You're talking about close to $250,000 per round you win through. When it's like Stewie touched on there, it's a one game situation. It really does feel like a cup final for them. One game straight through, it's $250,000 in the coffers, and with a decent chance, and you know, of progressing against, like, they've played and beaten teams better than Molde in cups over recent years. So I think, look, the return in European football is massive if you can win through the rounds. And given what's gone on this year with COVID and everything, things are probably a little bit tighter, even though Peak Six have continued to invest. I think things are tighter across the league and across football globally, really. But there's a massive chance for them to recoup some of the money that has been put into it. And winning a few rounds in Europe, you know, it makes it easier to put more money in. Look, with all the leagues across Europe coming back at different times, being in different stages, having different pressures, like, you know, even the fact that the game's going to be played in Hungary now as opposed to in Slovenia, all this means that, you know, Dundalk's chances are probably raised slightly. You know, it's effectively in a neutral venue behind with no fans in the ground. Great chance to win some money. Like I said, look, $250,000 per round is massive money in League of Ireland terms.
Okay, I'm very hopeful, Stu, to be fair. I'm delighted with the draw that Dundalk got, and I do fancy them against that Slovenian team, Sielce, I think that's how we're going to pronounce for the next couple of weeks. And then the incentive, as John said there, of playing the likes of Molde and Cups, who, again, I would fancy their chances against that. So I'm hopeful that's Dundalk sorted. The Europa League draw was also made today, Stewie, and Derry City will play Riteriri, I think. I'm going to have to learn these pronunciations. From Lithuania, Shamrock Rovers were drawn at home against Ives Tampere from Finland, and Fehervar from Hungary will face Bohemians, and a way draw for Bohemians. Again, I would look at those, and the Derry City one, you look at that team from Lithuania, they lost in the first round from a team from the Faroe Islands last year. They're sixth in their own domestic league, which you would think is a poor enough league. Derry City should fancy their chances in that one. Shamrock Rovers riding high here. Everything going really well for them at home against the Finnish team, who were mid-table. They last played in the first round, I think 2018. They lost. Again, I would fancy their chances. Bohemians, on the other hand, I think it's a tougher tie. Fehervar, people might be familiar with their old name. They were Videoton. I think they changed because of sponsorship issues. But they finished runners-up in their league last year, and I think that might be a tougher tie. Out of the three of them, I think that's the toughest tie.
I do. I'd agree with that, yeah. I mean, also because, you know, when you look at Bozov, it's their first time in Europe in 8 years. They have a very young, inexperienced squad when it comes to Europe. That's not to say that they can't go and do a job on these, which I think they're capable of doing because the form is very good for Boz. You know, especially when you and when you look at the way they're playing at the moment, they've got very good good technical players in their squad. I think they could have a good chance. They'll go there. They'll have a chance. But you know, it is the more difficult of all three. The Rovers one obviously stands out because, well, for a number of reasons. Rovers, you know, playing very well at the moment. Football wise, playing very, very well. Very much suited to European style football. They've gotten the home draw.
That's key as well. They're very suited to the European football as well, aren't they?
Very suited to the European football. They've gotten that home draw, so they've gotten the big pitch to play on. I mean, all pointers are pretty much in the favour of Rovers. Plus, you have to remember, they've been building up European wise. They've been building up to this. I felt they had a very good European trip last year, and you can see that they're starting to get more confident in it. They've a settled group. Everything's good in the squad. Jack Bourne, you know, all pointing towards a very good chance of them qualifying through. Derry City, I mean, it's difficult to know really. We spoke last week about how we felt, you know, where Derry are at the moment. Are they the kind of team that are not suited to you know, imposing themselves on other teams? Are they better off in a situation where maybe they sit back, they soak up pressure and they catch them on the break? And we'll probably talk about the Rovers game later on. I think that's where they're at the moment. Now, that can be in your advantage when you play in Europe. Yeah. So, again, I think that very much an equal opportunity there. But look, you can talk about oppositions and stadiums and the heat and all this kind of stuff till the cows come home. You know, what we've learned over, you know, the past 20 years or 25 years is that playing European football is very much a psychological thing as well. We're fit, we're much more tactically aware than we used to be. We're much more technical than we used to be. And I think we have to go into these games with a level of confidence about us, awareness as well that this is where it's at, Alan. Yeah. This is where we progress. Yeah. It's not what the FAI do, you know, in boardrooms. That's years down the line. That's all stuff that's going to will hopefully reap benefits from years down the line. This is happening now. We can do this now. It's in the next 2 weeks. Let's say, for example, all four clubs progress.
Yeah.
Imagine what that would do for football in this country.
Looking at that draw, Stu, I would be very hopeful. Yeah. And I think I'm a bit of a realist. If I didn't fancy their chances, I'd be the first one to say it. But I think those draws have been very favourable to us. Do you agree, John?
Yeah, I overall, I mean, like, if you look at the clubs, this all four Irish teams could have gotten, I think they've all done relatively well. Bowes is the toughest one. But again, look, their opponents, Ferivar, they're not back in their league yet. Bowes has been together for a couple of, you know, best part of 2 months now in terms of training. We're back in league action for a while. So hopefully they can get a bit of a jump on them. But Derry couldn't have gotten a better draw, to be honest. The team they're playing, whose name I won't try and pronounce just now, are actually bottom league, because there's actually only six teams in the Lithuanian league. They've only got one win from 14 games.
Yeah.
And Rovers, the way they're playing, Tampere, or the Finnish league is kind of on a par, but Tampere, I think, are mid-table.
They're mid-table, John, yeah. So again, you would fancy them, one of the Scandinavian teams, Stu. We're going to leave the European stuff there for now, because obviously these games are the next couple of weeks, Stu, so we will cover them heavily the week of the games. I'm really looking forward to them. Obviously, there'll be no crowds at them, but hopefully maybe there might be a bit of coverage. We get to see a couple of the games as well. I just to go back to your point as well, Stu, we were lucky enough to play in Europe many times and experienced a few good runs and different things and good times. It's, as you said there, it's where it's at. For a player playing in Europe, it was the only time that I ever felt like a professional footballer in this country, the European Games. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. That's where it's at for a player. Like, I mean, just a little bit of advice for any player that's out there at the moment. When you look back at your career when you retire, and regardless of whether you've won league medals or you've made so much money, look, believe me, in this country you won't make that much money regardless of what people might tell you, right? league medals, not really. That's not what I look back on.
And you were on the big bucks for a long time.
I look back at the European stuff, those memories. I genuinely really, really do. I took it so seriously. Yeah. And I really felt we could have done something. And we were
very close.
Very close, yeah. Okay. And, you know, I genuinely look back at those wonderful European nights, pitting yourself against the best in Europe, and that's what gets you through.
Do you still go to bed thinking about Valorant?
I do, yeah. I'm still marketing my dreams.
Yeah. Pat Fenlon literally told you if he goes down to the shop for a packet of biscuits, you're going with him for a packet of biscuits.
I actually did follow him into the dressing room. The game was over. I walked into the Deportivo dressing room.
The only thing that I'm shocked at, that you haven't dedicated a song to Valorant on the album. It was so intimate for 2 or 3 weeks. Every day of the week we used to come into the dressing room and it was all Valorant this and Valorant that. He built up something magical over that 2 weeks.
The hardest thing, Alan, the hardest thing about the whole thing was actually having to learn fluent Spanish so I could insult him.
Okay, Adon, great times, great memories. I echo all that, Stu. And for those European lads, obviously, it's a very exciting time for them. It's brilliant when the draws used to come in. Where are you going? Who are you playing against? And I hope all the teams progress and do well. We will be back to cover them in the next couple of weeks. But domestically, Stu, over the weekend, I mentioned it. We spoke about it last week. 5 points we felt was a big gap. How big is 8 points?
Well, in this season, this current season, very, very big. You know, it's going to be a very difficult ask now for Dundalk to claw that back. They'll certainly feel they're capable of doing that. And look, the fact that they have to play each other only once will give them a little bit of hope. I don't think that's the issue, but I think there's problems there at the moment that they really need to rectify quick.
Dundalk?
Yeah, Dundalk. They're not starting games at all.
Let's get into this, Stu. They lost 2-1 to Bohemians. Was it more a case, I watched the game, I'll give you my view in a moment. Was it more a case of Dundalk being really, really poor or Bohemians being very, very good?
But see, that shouldn't be an excuse for Dundalk because you can't go into games expecting, maybe Bowes won't be really, really good here. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't mean like that.
Bowes were excellent. Yeah. Pats were excellent.
Why weren't Dundalk excellent?
Dundalk aren't starting games. Just not starting games. Simple as that. Not giving themselves an opportunity. For whatever reason, I don't know why.
They were two down after 20 minutes, was it?
I think in their play, they're a little bit laboured, a little bit slow. Mm. It's all very much across the back four, not really going anywhere. And that's just a real difficulty for me. There's a frustration there as well with one or two of the players. And there's something happening that I've never seen from any of the top teams in this league for a long time. And how easily they were getting caught on the break. And Vinny spoke about this after the game. I mean, there was on probably 4 or 5 occasions where they were in possession moving forward, lost possession, and almost one pass they were nearly in on goal, like, which is crazy because you've got the back four looking at one runner coming from midfield, whether it was you know, Keith Buckley or whoever it was,
Danny Grant
who did it on a couple of occasions, and they're just not reacting. You know, just not reacting at the moment. So I don't know what it is. Look, and this is not news to them. They're well aware that things aren't right at the moment. Maybe it is the fact that they have little one eye on Europe. I don't know. But they're going to have to get themselves. They're going to have to start games. You know, I think it's back to basics at the moment. First minute, just earn the right to play in the game. Play at a little bit much. They need to play at a higher tempo as well than what they are at the moment. And just little things. They're only fractions, but it only takes fractions in this game for you to be off the pace. And they're off the pace at the moment.
A worrying stat for me, particularly, and looking at the table on Saturday morning after the match, it's changed now because there's been a couple of games, but the stat still stands and the point still stands. Dundalk, over the years, with all the success, Stu, that they've had, they've been watertight at the back. Every year, watertight. They'll concede, you go through all the leagues, 10, 12, 14 goals minimum. They've already conceded 7 goals, which for a Dundalk team, out of all the other clubs you go through, Bowes have only conceded 4, Shamrock Rovers have only conceded 6, even Pats have only conceded 5, Waterford have only conceded 5. Like, to me, that's sticking out like a sore thumb. And we watched them tonight against St. Pat's, and obviously the game against Bohemians, and you mentioned it there about them breaking away. Bohemians could have scored 4 or 5 easily. They had a couple of brilliant chances. What is it about the back four? Because Vinny picked the same back four as what he did Pats. Do you think now he's probably looking at, gave them that chance and says, look, you were poor enough against Pats, but this is the back four? Because for the first time in a long time, right, and I made a bold statement, and we mentioned the European stuff there, and he was one of your best friends, and he still is one of your best friends, and we played with him, and I think he's been the best player in our league, was the best player for a long time, Owen Harry, right? I said about Sean Gannon that the biggest compliment I could pay Sean Gannon over the last few years is that I think he's every bit as good as Owen, if not better, which is a massive statement because I love Owen, and as I say, he was the best player in the league, in my view, for a long time. He got roasted at the weekend, yeah. Sean Gannon. Chris Twardek, I never seen anybody cause him as many problems. Chris Twardek was outstanding in the game and he absolutely roasted Sean Gannon, which I've never seen before a winger do that to him. Then you look at the back four, Cleary was making mistakes. You pointed out tonight against St. Pat's, he was weak. Andy Boyle and Massey on the other side, when the ball came in for Grant for his first header, he's caught out in the left back position. What is it with the back four?
So to me, it's actually not any one individual. I think it's all of them.
Okay.
And that tells me that just the mentality in the squad is just not where it needs to be. They just haven't reacted to the COVID situation, whatever the case may be. It looks a little bit flat. It looks like players are waiting on other players to react. They're not reacting to second balls. I felt even in the Pats game, you know, you could hear Vinny roaring from the sidelines. You know, second balls. That reaction stuff. You only need to be, you know, a yard, not even a yard off in this game, and you're going to be second best. So it's just little things like that. I saw stuff creeping into the game in the Bowes game, which I didn't like, and it was you know, a couple of 50-50 challenges and a couple of Dundalk players going down looking for fouls. Referee wasn't giving them, and it's that sort of stuff, like, you know. So it's definitely a difficult period for them. I don't like being, you know, I don't like kicking a team when they're down, like, you know, because I don't think we have to be sort of, I don't think we're sort of talking about anything that's,
oh, no,
that's,
no,
new, like, here, like, yeah, you know, that, but, yeah. But it's
no, and it's fair, like, we'll give them all the praise in the world when they're, but 1 point out of six for a team like Dundalk, Vinnie Pert doesn't need us to tell him, like, that's a poor return.
Yeah, to me it's a collective thing. It just, the whole group just look a little bit flat. There isn't even one individual that's standing out for me in the games. You know, I don't know why they're not getting the ball to Duffy anymore, like, in the way they used to, or try to walk the ball wide the way they used to, or they're banging it into the hoop and looking for seconds. Like, you know, there was times in the game which I could have counted four or five, maybe even six occasions where they played long balls up to Hooban, okay, who we all know is excellent in the air, probably one of the best players in the game at timing headers. Not one runner off him. No one taking a chance off him at all. Like, you know, and you're kind of wondering, this is strange. Like, you know, it's just psychologically, mentally, they're just a yard off, and they've got to react. They've got to react big. Really have to.
John, we spoke about it last week and you both, Stewie and yourself, said that they will win in Daly Mount and you fancied them to show us a bit of a reaction. So how surprised were you with the result? And I feel as though, and I don't want to do this, I feel as though we're not giving Bohemians enough credit because they were absolutely brilliant on the night, Bohemians as well.
Yeah, actually, look, that I suppose we can talk about how poor Dundalk were, really, but Bohemians were excellent. And their game plan was spot on. And, like, I had seen them play Downturner's Cross the week before. And it was funny, Stewie mentioned it, that Keith Long was talking about how they weren't cohesive. They hadn't gelled yet. And I was kind of surprised because I thought Bohs were quite well the week before. But I think they stepped it up hugely playing Dundalk at the weekend. And look, they were worthy winners. They're worthy to be second place in the table at the moment. I think we can look at what has gone wrong in Dundalk, but you have to give massive credit to what the work has been done in Bohemians as well. Keith Long has done fantastic work there. And they really are a really solid unit now at the moment. Everyone knows their jobs. Everyone's supporting each other. They're not shirking tackles. And they're creating a bagload of chances. You know, they really are playing excellent.
Yeah, they've been outstanding, Stu.
Excellent. Sure. I know, there's no doubt about it. Excellent.
Obviously, we have praised Keith Long over the last 2-3 years, like what he's done, considering the budget, all that kind of stuff, the limited resources. It's been phenomenal. They're in a position now where we keep saying, myself included, it's 8 points is the gap. That's the Dundalk. It's 6 points from Bohemians to Shamrock Rovers. Can they mount a serious title challenge, Stu?
Well, do you know what? I mean, when you look at what Leicester have achieved in recent years, you look at the situation of this current league format. I mean, we normally say leagues are a marathon. They're not anymore. They're sprints.
Sprints now, yeah.
And confidence is everything. Mm. Confidence is everything in this game. And basically, Bowes have now played themselves into a situation where they can go and have a crack at them. Mm. And who better than than their arch rival Shamrock Rovers?
And if you think, like, that, the very first day, this, now I know it was horrendous conditions, you couldn't judge much. That was the team who obviously beat them at the start. I'm looking at the game at the weekend as well, and I have to give him a mention. I tweeted about it. As I said, Twardek was brilliant, and it surprised me a lot, but he's been brilliant for Bohemians. I wasn't mad about him at Sligo Rovers. He's made an unbelievable start to his Bohemians career. I think he's been man of the match in three or four of the games prior to lockdown. He's had a brilliant impact on their season so far, and he was brilliant at the weekend. But there's a player in the middle of the park, Keith Buckley, and he was outstanding, Shu. He just goes about his business. He's one of these very unassuming little players, little characters. I keep saying little, he's quite small, but he's a huge heart. And he was unbelievable at the weekend. He got a goal, now it was a tuck of deflection, but just his overall performance. And one thing that we've always spoke about Bohemians, which I think is brilliant, and obviously Keith's instilled it, and with the likes of Derek Pender when he was there, Supple, is that togetherness and unity to have, and a great little group. He even referenced Keith Ward, who's a bit of a jokey character, Keith is at the best of times, but even how much he's had an impact on the squad now coming into that kind of leadership role as well. But Buckley is that for them, the captain. He was brilliant on Saturday.
Yeah, yeah. He's been wonderful since he's come back, actually, since it's his second spell at the football club. You could really see after his... I felt his time at Bray kind of brought him on as a player. You know, maybe not the fact that he was at Bray, but I think, you know, he was at a club where maybe he could develop, you know, be the main player on the pitch. And you can see technically he got better and better. His passing was excellent. And then when he came back to Bowes, I think he just kind of stepped up another level again. He's certainly, to me, the type of player. He has that temperament as well, where he thrives on the captaincy. Some players don't do well when they give him the captain's armband. But
he relishes it.
Yeah, he's very I think he's a very influential player for Bohemians, and very influential in that position, by how he plays, simply by how he plays, not by roaring and shouting,
yeah, he leads
or going out
example,
and kicking lumps out people, yeah, or whatever like that. He can do the physical side of it, no doubt about it, like, you know, but he's evolved as a player with the modern game, and I think he's an excellent role model for all the players that are there at the moment. And, you know, everything in the game, right, especially for players, is about how you react to the current situation you're in, right? Like, so, I mean, 3 or 4 weeks ago, if we had said to Bowes, look, you might find yourself being the title challenge for Rovers, they mightn't have believed you. They might say, well, maybe, like, you know, but the way it's gone, they've played themselves now into a situation where they can go and have a crack. And they will have a crack, you know, because, like we keep saying, it's short in season. There's a great opportunity there. You look at the likes of what Leicester have achieved, and other clubs. It's there for them.
Even you look at it next week. They're playing Finn Harps again. No disrespect to Finn Harps, but if they are going to be title challengers, they'll have to win that, and you should fancy them to win it. Shamrock Rovers are away to St. Pat's. They could slip up, so the opportunity is there. We're going to move it on from Bowes now. And John, you fancied Shamrock Rovers strongly last week. I felt as though it could have been a draw. Looking at the game for large periods yesterday, I thought it may end up a draw because I did fancy Shamrock Rovers to get that equaliser maybe. But they went one better, and obviously they got the winner as well with Lopez. Just how big was that result going away to Derry City? All eyes on them, all the focus on them, knowing they could open up an 8-point, 6-point gap from their rivals and getting the victory and getting the job done.
Oh, it was massive. And look, even though I called the results right last week, I think I called the game wrong. I think Stewie was dead on the way he described how Derry were setting up and how it actually might suit them to be playing someone who was more comfortable on the ball and just soak up the pressure. And I thought Derry were brilliant. Like, apart from a few crossfield balls that put Bowes into some good positions in the first half, they created nothing. I think their first shot on target was actually after the equaliser. I don't think they had a shot on goal or on target before Colm Horgan scored his OG. But I thought Derry were brilliant. They pushed them wide. They sent them down kind of blind alleys. Even as good as Jack Byrne was in the middle, he was struggling to find someone to run off the passes he was picking in the first half. But I think what switched it for Rovers really and what turned it in the end was when you look at the quality of the player, again, we touched on it last week, the quality of the player they can bring off the bench.
Yeah, that's massive.
When you can bring, you know, Graham Burke off the bench, you know, and Rory Gaffney, and players like that, that like did turn the game for them, put more pressure on Derry, pinned them back that little bit more. I think that's ultimately what made the difference. I thought the loss was harsh on Derry. I think they probably did deserve to come away with a point for all they put into it. And the two goals were actually, I suppose, all three goals in the game, really. There was an element of fortune about them all, but I thought Derry set up brilliantly, and they were really war. As much as I fancied Rovers last week, I thought Derry probably came away with a little bit more credit from the game. I thought Rovers were quite lucky to come away with the win.
A brilliant summary. I would agree with all that, Stu. Watching the game, tactically, they set up very well. They frustrated Shamrock Rovers for large periods. As John said, there was an element of luck with the goal, but you earn your luck. They took that Figueroa kind of cross come shot. And Shamrock Rovers did, up until the changes, it looked like Derry were going to pull it off. Again, as John correctly says, you're bringing off serious quality off the bench. Burke, Gaffney, and it did turn the game from them. Derry had a tough week, obviously, because they played midweek as well. Maybe they got a bit tired towards the end. In saying that as well, what's huge that John didn't mention there, that I think it's worth mentioning, was Manus pulled off two unbelievable saves at the end. And I've had my moments with Shamrock Rovers goalkeepers down through the years and I've always said they needed a top quality one. Since he's come in, he's been unbelievable, Manus. I think I'm always saying, more so this year, that I think Brian Murphy is the best goalkeeper in the league since he's come back, and I always thought that about Brian when he was here anyway. But Manus is right up there. Manus is an unbelievable goalkeeper, and for a team as well who can dominate for such large periods, and he might be out of action for such a long spell, to be called into action and he's always there. And that was the prime example yesterday. There was a save down low to Figueroa, there was one he tipped onto the bar, then he got across the goal,
the double
as well.
Save, yeah,
yeah. He was outstanding. So massive results, Stu. Like, going forward, you're looking at it, you mentioned it's a sprint finish. Now, they have to lose three games with 11 to go. Can you see them losing three games? That's to Dundalk, sorry. They have to lose two maybe to Bohemia.
Not at the moment, but I think it's very easy. Sometimes it's very easy to look at these games and say, oh, they got lucky. You know, on another day, those goals wouldn't have gone in. You know, they were a little bit calamity at stages. And then another day, maybe Manus wouldn't have pulled off the double save. And so that's the danger. You look at the game and you kind of go, oh, they rode the luck a little bit, Rovers, didn't they? But for me, they didn't. And the one thing I thought won them the game, one thing, was temperament.
Okay.
So they kept trying to play. They didn't get frustrated, right? Derry were excellent, no doubt about it. And certainly played the way I thought they would. And that's their game, where they're at the moment. So that's, I presume that's where they're going to be after going forward. But even going 1-0 down, I felt Rovers never changed, never tried to change, never lost their cool. Kept going at it. Ultimately, you make your own luck in this game. And they got that. They made their own luck. Yes, there was a little bit of... Well, was there a little bit of luck about the goal? There wasn't. The first goal, I know it's come off Horgan's head, but it was a wonderful move that led to it. It was like...
And a good flick on header as well, Williams.
Yeah, good delivery, good flick on header. You know, that's... You kind of make your own luck in those in those particular cases. And then there was Lopez, a little bit of hunger, you know, trying to anticipate the second ball in the right place at the right time.
But they're
right
throwing bodies forward. They're brave at that stage, too. So he has used to make their
own. It's his temperament. It's just a temperament. I think Rovers, this Rovers squad, you can see... They've matured to where they were last year, like, you know. And to be fair, I have to give credit to Stephen Bradley, because I think that's how Stephen is. He's very much like that. He was never an aggressive player. He never lost a cool. He always maintained, you know, a certain level of temperament. And I think that's rubbing off on the players as well. They never got frustrated at all, which is always a good sign.
It's a good point, John, to be fair. And again, I would agree with that, because I think it is a sign of a really good team that you have your principles, you stick to them regardless of the scoreline. I know the later it goes on, maybe you're throwing bodies forward, a bit more gung-ho. But as Stewie said, they kept playing, they kept probing, and it is the sign of a top quality team.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think even in the first half, they were trying to match Dylan Watts up against Colin Horgan a lot. And I think when you had Neil Ferrugia in particular in the second half running at Horgan instead, when they made that change, it got them a little bit more output from that. But no, like Stewie's dead right. They probed and they kept on trying to pick passes, and they kept on throw bodies into the box for the winning goal in the end. But it would have been easy enough, like in the position they are as well, just to be happy with, you know, taking the points and staying, you know, as it would have been then, six clears on dock. You know, so look, they win for it.
Manus pulled off a brilliant save. I probably should have mentioned that, to be fair. Mm-hmm. It was outstanding. But look, they're top quality side, and I think it's a fair point, right, about the temperament. Like, they just kept on playing their way, keeping on going. And look, I Stephen Bradley was a player with Limerick when I was working down there a few years back, and he absolutely is that type of player himself, you know, exactly as Stewie described, off the field as well. Very, very calm, good leader, good influence. So no surprises his team kind of plays with that kind of mindset as well.
Well, if he ever agrees to talk to me again, I might bring him into the studio to have a chat with him. But he's more than welcome. He's more than welcome.
That might be another reason why he's doing well. He hasn't spoken to you.
He's more than welcome anytime. I've no problem. Bring him in. No problem. Okay, we're going to leave. Before I leave it there, actually, and I'm not mad on predictions at this time of year, but it's worth asking the question, I think, Stu, because it was such a big weekend. Is the league over?
No, it's not. It's okay. Not over. No, okay. It's not over. There's too many games. I mean, there's 33 points to be played for. There's European football to be played. There's a lot of football to be played. Yeah. In a short period of time, it's going to get...
Injuries.
It's going to get hectic, yeah. Alan. Yeah. You know, we've never experienced this before, you know. So there's a level... There's almost a level of the unknown about this as well. Like, you know, so don't go into this thinking this is over. It's not over at all. There's so much more that can possibly happen. Injuries, suspensions, the ability to recovery, everybody's fitness levels, I think you can agree, they're all at the same level at the moment, like, you know, but it's going to start, it'll spread out as we, you know, as we get into it, it's going to get really hectic. So I'd expect an awful lot of things to happen in the coming weeks.
Okay, that's my answer. I'm not even going to ask you, John, because you're normally a rock of sense anyways, and you will agree with Stewie. So let's move it on. Waterford against Cork City. John, you were hoping for a point. You would have taken a point last week. You got a point. Are you happy?
Yeah. No, overall I am. I suppose the only thing that I'd kind of temper that with is, given the week that Waterford had and how slowly they started, and the fact that City did... You know, they brought Corey Galvin back into the starting 11 and Darragh O'Connor as well. There was a bit more about City going forward at the weekend. But overall, got away with a couple of chances in the second half, particularly very late on when Ronan Hurley need one off the line. But look, given where Waterford are, given where City are, it was a great point. Decent enough game, very slow to start, but nice to see that there's still a bit of bite left in the Munster derby anyway. But yeah, no, happy with the point. Yeah. The only thing I would touch on is I kind of found it a bit strange that John Sheridan didn't give his post-match interview and pass that off to somebody else. I think after the week they had, kind of supporters, media and fans of Waterford and every other club probably would be keen to see what someone with John Sheridan's profile would be talking about after a match. You know, and it kind of, I think if you bring someone with that kind of profile into the league and with his history, you kind of want to hear what he has to say. And I kind of was a bit disappointed that, I know, tough week and all that, but sending somebody else out to do the talking for you just kind of felt a bit off to me.
I would echo every word of that, Stewie. He should have come out and faced the media afterwards, especially the fact that the statement that was released on the Facebook account of the doctor, which would leave more questions than answers as to why she resigned. And he should have faced up to the music and answered the questions, because it was a controversial week. Thankfully, the player tested negative in the end and the game were able to get back to normal. But to me, there's a bit of a cloud over that situation and it needs clarification. And putting somebody else out in front of the media and saying he thinks it's hearsay because it's on a Facebook account was the most ridiculous answer I've ever heard. And John Sheridan should have faced the music.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Like, I didn't read too much into what was happening here, but you've certainly filled me in now. I mean, I think the game is evolving now. Like, you know, it's you've got, you know, when you've got the likes of social media out there and different things, like, you know, you have to appreciate that that's an awful lot of people look at, and it's there to kind of inform people. I don't know whether he's trying to maybe just kind of shut up shop a little bit and just try and get Waterford into a position where they're at least safe. But I'd agree, you know, if there's questions to be asked about what's gone on in the background and the football club, and it's, when you take into consideration as well that we are in a very difficult period with COVID, and people, you know, would rather be informed rather than have this, you know uncertainty that's over everything, you know, and that just confuses people. It confuses players as well, like, you know. So I agree. It's unfortunate because I like John Sheridan. I've always liked him, you know, and I think we all do.
This isn't anything against John Sheridan.
Of course not.
And not only from the point of view of the controversial week that they had, also as John's point about the fact that just his footballing ideas and what he thinks of maybe he's new to the league, and that was a couple of games. I also thought the RSC looked magnificent at the weekend.
Yeah.
It looked great tuning in on the pitch and all. So I'd love to hear that side. And again, as John said, he's a high-profile name, a big high-profile name. We want to get as many high-profile names and people talking about the league as possible. So there's two sides of this, and I think you should have answered questions on both.
Yeah, and I remember him as a player. And
I once played against him, and he was unbelievable.
Well, he was unbelievable, like, you know, for the quality that he had. And sometimes when you look back at someone like that, you do look up to them, and you'd hate that to be tarnished by little nitty-gritty stuff like this. Like, look, maybe he'll learn from it. You know, I'm not too sure in his previous spells as manager whether the media was something he liked doing or liked focusing on. He does seem to me to be a quiet individual.
But whether you like doing it or whether you don't like doing it, it's part of the job.
It is part of the job. I totally agree. I was getting to that. I do agree. And for that reason and that reason alone, you know, he does need to kind of ask questions.
Okay. His team are going okay. They'll be disappointed with the point, but overall, they're sitting in fifth position, level on points of St. Pat's. So we touched on it last week that maybe there might be dark horses. I was quite impressed with the team at times. They looked to play some nice brand of football. We picked out a couple of them last week. The lad in the middle as well, Weir and Smith and a couple of them. So, yeah, and who knows, John Sheridan, we might hear from him very soon. Hopefully we will. Moving it on, Stu, then, our own team, well, my team, Sligo Rovers, picked up a massive win against your team, Shelburne, 2-1. And I watched this. Sligo Rovers picked up exactly where they left off with the week before, obviously having the game called off in midweek. But that didn't affect them at all because they came out, scored after, I think, 30 seconds, Jesse Devers. And it was a really good, positive performance from Sligo Rovers, a big 3 points. On the other hand, Shelburne, I mentioned it in the game day against Waterford, the drew nil all. I was really disappointed with them. Watching them again at the weekend, so disappointed with them. I think they've a lot of work to do, Stewie. And I mentioned the fact that success for them is just staying in the league. I think they have a battle on their hands staying in the league. I thought they were poor again at the weekend.
Well, how big is that Finn Harps result? Because without that now, they might have been looking over their shoulder very, very quickly. I thought they were very flat in the game. You speak about Sligo, they were excellent. Mm. You know, whether or not the cancelled game midweek played at their advantage, probably did, but they were much fresher. Mm. You know, and to be honest with you, they had more quality as well. Like, they really did. You could see there was much more purpose in how they played. And fully deserving of the 3 points. That was the first time I've actually seen Shells in full this season, and I'd be a little bit concerned about them. I'm going to be in Talca for the game this weekend, and I'm dying to get a really good look at them. But they're probably struggling a little bit with how quickly games are coming at them, and plus the quality. You know, that big jump, it's always a big jump coming from the first division.
That's a massive jump
into the Premier Division. But when you're playing games that quickly, you know, quick turnaround times, you know, very, very little time to recover, you can see that they're probably struggling a little bit with that at the moment. So they've got to lick their wounds a little bit, because they've got a big couple of games coming up, because the last thing they want is to, you know, find themselves in difficulty early. I think that the longer they're able to kind of stay mid-table and maintain that, the more confidence they become in the squad. And they'll get better for me. But if you get dragged down to that bottom, which we're starting to see something happen. I mean, I'm only just looking at the bottom two there, Finn Harps and Cork. It's starting to already, that table is starting to kind of take a look upon it, like, you know. So you don't want to be dragged into that dogfight too early.
Looking at it, John. Now people might say, "What are you talking about? They've won 3 games and they've lost 4. They haven't drawn any." But those 3 games, 2 of those were in the early part of the season. Obviously, since the restart, they've lost 2. As you said, Stewie, it's a massive game beating Finn Harps, because they're the games that will define their season, beating the teams around you. And looking at the table, as you said, the way it's materialising, I think they will be right down there. I've been very disappointed with Shelburne, John.
Yeah, look, a couple of weeks ago after the Waterford game, I jokingly tweeted out,
Operation Catch Shelburne.
Operation Catch Shelburne, yeah, that's what Cork City's target is, really. But look, yeah, the game against Finn Harps has been massive for them, and those 3 points when Cork City and Finn Harps are picking up so little, you know, is keeping them their head above the parapet at the moment. But look, it's, I think Stewie's point is bang on there, that the table is fragmenting, and I think Shelburne, Finn Harps and Cork City now are they're like only one of them is, you know, not going. Only one of them is going to be completely safe. Obviously, one we're going to playoff, but I think it really is those three that are going to be battling it out now. And to be honest, Finn Harps, I'd be worried about them. They've lost all three games since they came back. But City still need to find a goal scorer. But Shells, since the restart, they have struggled, and I do think it possibly is that just the games are coming so quick and fast at the moment, and maybe their squad is that little bit lighter. We spoke 2 weeks ago about Finn Harps and the recruitment they've done. I think they've got a strong enough core there, and they've had a couple of tough games as well. The Shells one, funnily enough, was probably the only one that they might have expected to pick up a point themselves. Mm-hmm. But Shells, City and Finn Harps do look like they're not really going to do anything other than battle it out for the bottom places amongst themselves.
It's interesting that, Stu, that you have Shelburne and Finn Harps, who we both think will be down there fighting, and they've both had three games now in a week. And John makes the point about the squad and being stretched, and you say it as well with Shelburne and the games, the turnaround and the poor results, the poor return from those games. So this weekend Cork City are playing Sligo Rovers. Just how big are them games? Like we mentioned there about obviously Finn Harps playing Shelburne. Those games are absolutely massive when you're playing against the teams around you. And this weekend you're looking at it, Cork and Sligo is that game of this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, Cork really have to start picking up points. You know, realistically, it's I know things aren't right there at the moment. Conference is rock bottom, and confidence is a huge thing at the moment. Like I'm only even looking at the Finn Harps situation and thinking, you know, psychologically, what must be going through their heads? Because at the start of this season, you know, they looked good. They looked in really good shape. Ollie signed well, and they looked very strong.
We were very impressed with them tonight.
Very
up
impressed
in Derry,
with them,
weren't we?
Derry, yeah. And then this stuff comes along, and they come on the restart, and they all of a sudden they find themselves, you know, second from bottom.
Matches,
they're
yeah.
basically joint bottom of Cork.
Yeah.
Psychologically, that has to take a huge hit on you. And all of, you know, there's a danger. You start feeling sorry for yourself. You don't get up for games, and you're really.
The game against Shelburne last week, Shells were down to 10 men after only 11 minutes. Shepherd sent off, and they still lost.
And then that gets under the skin of players. It gets into your head, like, you know, are we, you know, what are we doing wrong? Are we doomed, or whatever the case may be? So it's a difficult time for the both of them. I think, Shells obviously at home to Derry this week, which is a big game for them. Look, they'll be looking at it. Look, if we win or get a draw, that keeps us above Derry. Maybe that's what they need to be doing at the moment, just to kind of allow themselves to settle into the current situation and try and avoid themselves going down. We're only reacting about what we saw and what I saw against Sligo, and I didn't see an awful lot. So I think it's a big couple of weeks for them. I think the next two or three weeks is really going to be huge for everybody. I think we're going to start seeing people moving, whether it be up or down, and over the next couple of weeks we'll start to see the league really, really take shape.
The other result then, the last one in the Premier Division, was St. Pat's beating Finn Harps. I'm not going to go into too much detail on that. It was fully expected. We spoke about him last week a lot, Georgie Kelly. I think he's going to have a massive impact on St. Pat's season. You know my feelings on him. I'm mad about him. And he picked up two goals, Stewie, as well, and he's up and running. And I think he's going to run very fast with them and score a lot of goals.
Yeah.
I think he's a top player.
The key for him, Alan, is that he gets used to being... he gets used to the title of being the main striker, because that hasn't been, you know, a part of his game while he was at Dundalk. He'd always come off the bench and he always looked dangerous. You know, you could always see that they would utilise him, and he'd always look, he'd create something, get a goal, whatever the case may be. And so his first game, when he played against, I think he started against Derry, was it, in Richmond?
Yeah.
He was taken off in the game, didn't really make much of an impact, and that's fine. So maybe it was a good thing to take him off. A little bit of a reminder. Look, you know, you're my main striker, but if you're not playing well, you're off the pitch. So that might have worked well for him, because he's bounced back now. And I think that's the key for him, is that he adopts this, I'm the main man. And if he can do that the right way, you know, not too ego about it, not too over the top, then he'll definitely be a big sign for him. And then, you know, it's reap rewards. He's banging in the two goals. And that's a great win for them. That's really set their season up now. Pats.
Yeah, we spoke a lot about them. John, there's fixtures tonight. There's a game tonight, Finn Harps against St. Pat's in the FAI Cup. Tomorrow night, it's your beloved Cork City against Longford, and Dundalk are at home to Waterford. Just quickly, John, I suppose over those three, St. Pat's, you would think will beat Finn Harps. Dundalk, you would think would beat Waterford. Just the Cork City and Longford game. How much emphasis do you think Neil Fenn will put on this or should put on this?
Stewie's touched on it, yourself's touched on it a few times, Alan. Momentum is massive. And to come away from Waterford with a point, I think City need to start picking up points, obviously. But to do that, you have to build a bit of momentum. So I would be amazed if Neil Fenn doesn't go all out. Longford will be well up for it, you know, given Neil came from there to sign for Cork City as well. And obviously because it's the FAI Cup, I mean, you know, there's more of it than just, there's no, you know, it means a massive month for Longford as well, outside of just, you know, Neil Fenn being in the opposition dugout. But City need to go for it. And need to build a bit of momentum going into the Sligo game on Friday. Obviously, I'd be hoping they do, but it's, as we used to say, a potential banana skin for City, definitely, because, I mean, Longford aren't a bad side by any means.
No, Longford are decent. I actually think this could be an upset. And this is the thing, this is the question. Would it be seen as an upset when you think of where Cork are right now and Longford riding high in the First Division with aspirations to obviously get promoted? And you look at Neil Fenn was only there a few months ago, and now Darragh Doyle is kind of in the hot seat, taking over from him. Imagine they flip-flopped, Stu. Yeah, yeah. But you look at the week that they have, it's massive for Cork. I hope for Neil Fenn's sake to beat Longford as well. Even though, as I said, there might be a surprise. And I think just for Neil, he needs a win. And then you look at the game against Sligo Rovers. It's a huge week. If he was to lose the two games, like the pressure then that's on him and on Cork, and the doom and gloom that's, like, it's there as it is. Imagine what it'll be like after that week. So look, we'll see how that goes for them. I'm just going to run through the First Division fixture, or the results actually from the weekend. So Cove 2, Galway 2. Longford, who we just spoke about, had a good win in the El Clasico against Athlone, 2-0. Drogheda, a very good win, because Bray had beaten Longford on Monday night, so that was a big win for Drogheda, winning 3-1 at home. UCD, there's someone who we'll definitely mention in the coming weeks, Andy Myler, who's doing a good job at UCD, Stu. They're up to fourth, his first managerial job. You would have played against Andy a lot. I played with him and against him, a great lad, so it's good to see him doing well. And Wexford and Cabin Teely. Wexford have picked up this season as well too. They're sitting mid-table in the First Division. They're going okay on 6 points, and they took points off the league leaders Cabin Teely, who had won their previous four matches, and they drew obviously at the weekend against Wexford, so that was a really good result for them. The fixtures this week: at Lone are playing Drogheda, Bray versus UCD, Cabin Teely against Cove, Galway v Longford, and Shamrock Rovers second team v Wexford. You look at the Women's National League, which kicked off as well at the weekend, Stu. I'm just going to run through the results. Shells 1-3-1 against Cork City Women. Galway 1-1 against DLR Waves. Pmount 5-0. Stephanie Roach back with Pmount. I think she chipped in with a goal as well against Treaty United. And Wexford winning 4-1 against Bowes. And that was a historical game for Bohemians. It was the first time they had a women's team as well in the National League, which is good to see, Stu. And you want to see that league progress as well and get better and better. And they had a lot of coverage over the weekend. I'm just going to run quickly through the games at the weekend. I don't think we'll do predictions. Predictions are annoying, really, aren't they?
Too predictable.
Yeah. Predictions are too predictable. Dundalk v Waterford is the game that kicks it off Friday night. That's a huge game for Dundalk now. They have to get back to winning ways, Stu. They really do. Cork City, Sligo Rovers, we touched on that. A massive game for both teams. Finn Harps versus Bohemians. Bohemians, again, will look to maintain the momentum that they've built up the last 1-3 in the bounce now. Two since the restart. Shelburne, we also mentioned a lot there. A home to Derry City. Big game for them. You're going to that, are you, Stu?
I'll be at that one, yeah.
And I'm hoping to go to Richmond Park on Sunday for what I think is the game of the weekend. Pats and Shamrock Rovers should be a cracker. Hopefully I'll be in attendance, make it even more cracking. John, what are you looking forward to this week, and what game stands out for you?
I put aside my personal biases, I think Sligo Rovers Cork City is a massive game at the bottom of the table. I'm going to be down there myself. Cork City have a couple of players that have quarantined now that might be available, so hopefully can spring a bit of a shock and take something off Sligo Rovers, have been going very, very well. But that's, biased as it is, that's my game of the weekend, I'm afraid.
Now, that's okay, John, that's okay by us. Pats and Shamrock Rovers, that's huge, Hugh, isn't it? That's a big one of the weekend.
Yeah, especially thinking the way, you know, both teams are playing at the moment. Pats are in really good spirit. I think if they can bring that high energy game that we've seen them bring against especially against Dundalk, they can cause real trouble for Rovers. And this is this is also going to be part of, you know, what Rovers are going to come and face now, is that they have to embrace the fact that they're league leaders now, you know, and that can be a difficulty in itself, you know, regardless of where they're going to go. It's going to be difficult games all the time. I just feel that if they can go into every game the way they approach the Derry game, that temperament is really, really important for them, then it's very, very difficult to see past them. But there's a lot of football to be played, yeah, a lot of football.
Stewie, that was episode 5. Thanks very much for you. And also, John, and best of luck for the week, John, in exploring all the avenues and trying to come up with a club in Kerry for us.
No bother doing that.
I enjoyed that. Thanks a million. Talk next week.
Thank you for listening to Cawley's Call, powered by Benetti Menswear. For more interviews like this, please subscribe to my podcast or follow on all my social media channels.